One in five pregnancies ends in a miscarriage, an enormously traumatic event for women and their partners. Now, you'd think that it'd be obvious when a pregnancy has miscarried, but that's not always the case. So getting the diagnosis right is incredibly important. A paper published in the British Medical Journal has tested a new pathway for diagnosing miscarriages, and women should know about it. A co-author of an editorial accompanying the paper was Elizabeth McCarthy, an obstetrician in the University of Melbourne's Department of Obstetrics and Gynaecology at the Mercy Hospital. Elizabeth specialises in high-risk pregnancies.
It is a big issue, and nowadays pregnancy, more and more people are knowing about it very early. Some pregnancies are conceived through IVF, some people are just making use of the urine pregnancy tests, which are very accurate, so people know about it very early and they want to predict the future and see how it's going to end out. So they may come for scans and want to know, is it looking good, is it not looking good? And then, as you say, one in five pregnancies do miscarry, so we need to be fairly certain about whether a miscarriage has occurred.
It sounds like an obvious thing to do, to say when miscarriage has occurred, but when you think about it, it's not.
No, it's not. In our grandmothers or older era, you just had to wait for the pain, wait for the bleeding, and then wait to see if the pregnancy symptoms went away and then the normal menstrual pattern would resume. But now with ultrasound, you know, we're trying to take away some of the waiting, but we need to be sure. So this recent study has given us a lot more information from that, collating the information from over 2,500 pregnancies and following them through to see what happened to them.
Well, let's back up a little bit. To what extent are miscarriages symptomatic?
Probably over half would be symptomatic, yes, pain or bleeding, but almost half are known as a missed miscarriage. So it's only diagnosed in this era on ultrasound and then the pregnancy failing to develop on ultrasound.
So the woman notices that her tummy's not getting any bigger, she stopped vomiting or feeling sick in the morning, something's up and she kind of knows something's wrong.
Sure, she kind of knows, or otherwise she has, you know, come along with an early urine pregnancy test and then wanting to see what's happening, that sort of thirst to know what's happening. Or she's had a poor experience before of a miscarriage before and she wants to know, is that happening again? So she might not have symptoms but come to somewhere like an early pregnancy assessment clinic and want to know, is that an optimistic pregnancy or is it a miscarriage or is she in this uncertain group?
And waiting is not just about the psychology of it, because it's a much more traumatic event for women than many men give it credit for. But it's also presumably that you don't want to jump in and do a D&C, do a curettage and sort things out.
Yes, that's right. And so there were a few fairly high-profile cases about 5 years ago, mainly in the UK, where women had been booked to go for surgery, to go to sleep, to have a curettage, to have the miscarriage, supposed miscarriage treated, but took it upon themselves to get a second opinion, and because that had taken a few more days to get their ultrasound, actually then it was clear there was a fetus with a heartbeat. And that's an alarming thought that they'd got that close to terminating an otherwise wanted pregnancy. And the College of Obstetricians in the UK and international bodies about 2011 to 2013 made the criteria for diagnosis of ultrasound a little bit more strict to avoid these sort of errors happening.
So tell me about this study that you commented upon in the British Medical Journal.
This is a study which took the information from 7 UK hospitals from women attending an early pregnancy assessment clinic, and they were able to check on whether these recently adopted criteria from about 2011 or thereabouts were safe, saying that the embryo has got to have got to a certain size and no heartbeat seen before you diagnose a miscarriage, or that the gestational sac has got to a certain size with no evidence of embryonic life and then to diagnose a miscarriage.
The gestational sac is really the sac of amniotic fluid that will eventually grow within the uterus and hold the growing fetus.
Correct, yes.
So what did they find?
They found that the criteria are safe. You weren't leading decisions into an inadvertent termination of an unwanted pregnancy. But the second part of the study was they were looking at repeat scans. When can you go from that uncertain diagnosis to being sure about it? And if any sort of embryo could be seen and a scan was done 7 days hence, then you could be certain. It's not a pleasant 7 days, but it is only 7 days. You're not forcing women to wait for months. If there was a gestational sac with no sign yet of an embryo, the scan repeated 14 days later could be more certain. That's the sort of timing that we're asking women and practitioners to sit with until a bit more certainty occurs. There's been a lot of women have had that experience of going through repeat scans, and we didn't know whether it was right to repeat in 5 days, 2 weeks, 3 weeks. We've got a little bit more certainty, a little bit more planning. It might be an unpleasant 2 weeks, but at least the women know when they'll get an answer.
So let's summarise. Give me a typical story and what the process is for women listening.
Okay, so say a woman's got to about 8 weeks of pregnancy and had some bleeding and maybe some discomfort. It's not as heavy as a period in terms of the bleeding that she sees, and there's not sort of sufficient pain to make her worry that she needs strong pain relief, but she comes for a scan. And then it shows that there is an embryo, but it's 5 millimetres, no fetal heart. Now, that would be the situation where she could come back in a week to see if the fetal heart activity is seen and she can be positive that there will be fetal life, or whether she'll get a definite diagnosis that no, this is a pregnancy that stopped growing and the fetus isn't alive.
And in that situation, what's the likelihood that there'll be a fetal heartbeat in a week's time?
Look, it's close to 50-50.
You know, so it's not hopeless by any means?
It's not hopeless by any means, no.
And then the 14-day story?
The 14-day story would be a woman with, say, similar symptoms, or perhaps it has been the next pregnancy after a miscarriage and she wants to know, and she comes along and there is a gestational sac, say, of about 12 millimetres, then she could be checked in another 2 weeks. Now, in the positive outlook, you know, by that stage there would be a gestational sac that is more than double that, and there may well be a fetus with a heart beating that can be seen, and that's good prognosis, or the sac size may not have evolved much more, and then at 2 weeks we can say that it is a failed pregnancy.
And the pregnancy test doesn't help you here?
If it was to decline, if it was to halve within 48 hours, then we would think, well, that's really diagnostic of a miscarriage. But there is still a fair bit of variation in the slow rising or the plateauing HCG. So it is not as useful as it was first thought to be.
And does this pattern of a threatened miscarriage predict the outcome of the pregnancy? Once, you know, let's say that it goes well.
Yes.
Does it say, oh, you should be worried about this baby, or there's an X percent chance that this baby's got a problem?
In general, no.
That's not a resoundingly confident answer.
Obstetricians are like that. You know, we're still always cautious until the baby's in the cot and becomes the paediatrician's problem. But look, I would say, you know, generally up to 50% of women have a bit of bleeding, and most of them are going to have healthy pregnancies. So if you get to that, as in this study, they use the 11 to 14 mark as a sign that things were well. And from there on in, you know, the chance of getting that baby in the cot is quite good.
And is there anything that we know now that women can do to increase the chances of getting to 12 weeks?
Not any easy answers. The single biggest cause of both isolated miscarriage and recurrent miscarriage is obesity.
That's, oh, really?
Yes. If you enter pregnancy, you know, with all your healthy factors, you know, at the right age, again, not easy to prescribe, at a good weight, not smoking, not drinking, all of those sort of sensible things.
All roads lead to healthy living. Elizabeth McCarthy is in the University of Melbourne's Department of Obstetrics and Gynaecology at the Mercy Hospital.